This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Friends, my name's Ben Allen. I'm a student minister here. Today is a hard word from God. It's been very challenging to me. I hope it's very challenging to you. It's a wonderful word of grace, and it hopefully will challenge you. So we need God's help. And please pray with me. Our Father, your word is alive and active, and it changes us, but not if you don't come and help us now. So please turn our hearts and minds and our actions to you and change us as we need changing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, you're not really as loving as you think you are. None of us are. So we imagine that we accept everyone, but consciously or not, we create boundaries. We determine who is acceptable and who is not. I do it every day on the train as I choose a seat. I don't choose the most convenient seat. I choose a seat based on who I will be sitting next to. I determine whether they're acceptable based on what they look like and based on what they're doing. My daughters do it as they tell me, boys are yucky. They're unacceptable playmates. In The Hunger Games, the books and movies, the characters choose very carefully who is acceptable to be on their team and who is not. In Iraq, Islamic State deem everyone who doesn't agree with their interpretation of Islam to be unacceptable. So Christian or not, people are driven from their homes and many are executed. So none of us is as loving as we imagine ourselves to be. We all create boundaries. We use some criteria to determine who is acceptable and who is not. So today we're going on a journey of radical acceptance. It starts with Jesus, it intersects with us. Mark's biography of Jesus, so far in it, we've seen Jesus bringing God's rule to earth with his authority, demonstrating that he is the one God has sent to rule. Most recently, at the start of chapter 2, Jesus has forgiven the sins of the paralyzed man. And so the question is, who is he going to forgive? Will he forgive me? Will he forgive you? And what sort of person do I need to be to receive this forgiveness? So chapter 2, verse 13 takes us back for a moment, though. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. It takes us back to chapter 1, where Jesus was beside the lake, and on that occasion, he called some fishermen, follow me, and they did. And so as Jesus walks beside the lake again, we wonder, as a big crowd comes to him, who will he call? Will they follow him? And how does this relate to forgiveness of sins? So we'll see in verses 13 to 17, Jesus calls the unacceptable. Jesus calls the unacceptable. So Jesus walks along, he sees Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. We know a little bit about Levi. Essentially, he's a customs officer. He sits in his booth on the main roadways, and as traders pass by with their goods, he collects a 3% tariff from them on the value of their goods. But most likely, Levi collected more than 3%, making himself rich and not very well liked. So Jesus calls Levi, and Levi leaves his job and follows Jesus. And then in verse 15, we see Jesus and his disciples eating in Levi's house with many tax collectors and sinners. So Levi and his rich tax collector friends are grouped together with sinners. Who are these sinners? Well, these are the people you don't want to meet in a dark train station. These are the people you don't want your sons and daughters to grow up to be. You don't want your daughter to date this type of person. These are the murderers. These are the prostitutes, the thieves, the rich and arrogant. We might add today the drug dealers and the money launderers. These are the unacceptable people of society. And so they're thrust to the fringes of society. The only friends they have are each other. And Jesus is eating with them. Who do you eat with? Who do you invite to your house to share a meal with? I expect it's people very much like you. So eating together is something we use to define who is acceptable to us. If you invite someone into your house, then you accept them. You approve of them. And this was especially true for Jews in Jesus' day. Eating a meal defined us and them. And the Jews believed that if you ate with filthy people like these sinners, then they would transfer their unclean status to you. You'd become filthy just by association. And yet Jesus has gone out of his way to eat with many sinners. He's deliberately including the unacceptable in the us. He's not afraid of filth by association. And so, verse 16, the teachers of the law ask why he does this. And I can imagine they're outraged. And verse 17, Jesus responds, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So you don't go to the doctor unless you need a doctor. Men, I expect you don't go to the doctor even when you need a doctor. But Jesus says he's not calling the righteous, the acceptable. They don't need him. They've counted themselves as acceptable already. But the filthy sinners need Jesus. The unacceptable need Jesus to call them to follow him. And Jesus says that's why he's come. So what does it mean to follow Jesus then? For these fishermen and tax collectors and sinners, it meant stopping what they were doing, getting on the road with Jesus and walking to Jerusalem as he went there to die. It meant a complete change of life. They became devoted to Jesus. What does it mean for us today? As we hear the Bible, Jesus is calling us to follow him. But not by walking to Jerusalem, but again, by completely changing our lives, by stopping whatever we need to stop so that we can be completely devoted to Jesus. And if you're a filthy sinner, well, Jesus calls you because he calls the unacceptable. He wants you to stop and to follow him. And if you're already following Jesus, many of us are, well, this is an urgent reminder to us. Do we think in terms of us and them? Do we, in our mind, determine who is acceptable to come into this church and be welcomed, or to be greeted by us on the street, or to be helped by us when they're in need? You might not remember, 2 years ago in China, a toddler was run over in the street, and we watched on the news the footage of 18 people walking past this girl as she bled to death before one person stopped to help her. It's outrageous that anyone would consider someone unacceptable of their time or their help. But the same thing happens in this city. My friend's wife saw a man lying on the sidewalk with his phone in his hand, unable to put it to his ear. She took the phone and she spoke to the ambulance service, who had been on the other end for 2 hours, unable to find out where he was, to send help. People had walked past him for 2 hours. Was this man unacceptable? If so, then this is the type of man that Jesus calls, "Follow me." And we as Christians are to accept him on Jesus' behalf. So who is it for you? Who are the unacceptables in your life? Is it the homeless who frequent our premises here in Parramatta? Is it the homosexual? Is it the Muslims who stand in the mall behind me and hand out literature? Is it the person at work who you know is cheating on their spouse or stealing from the company? These people are the ones Jesus calls, "Follow me." And as Jesus does this, we're going to see that he redefines acceptability. Jesus redefines acceptability in verses 18 and 19. So Jesus is busy calling and eating with filthy sinners, and some of the more respectable of society come to Jesus and they ask him in verse 18, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" So the question is, we're fasting, we're acceptable, why are you not fasting? These more respectable people, they're refraining from food to show sadness for their sins. And you see the problem that they have. Jesus is feasting with sinners and they're fasting over their sin. But Jesus says, feasting is entirely appropriate. My wedding reception lasted a few hours and there was a little bit of food, just finger food, but a first century Middle Eastern wedding celebration went for 7 days. 7 days of feasting and food and dancing. So while the bridegroom is at the wedding, feasting is appropriate, not fasting. The time for celebration is not the time to fast. You notice the irony. These respectable people are busy trying to deal with their sins to make themselves acceptable to God. And it's entirely inappropriate. Meanwhile, these unacceptable sinners are busy rejoicing because their sins are forgiven. Jesus is telling us that he is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the right response is to rejoice in his forgiveness as he calls the unacceptable. And as Jesus does that, he redefines acceptability. It's the unacceptable, the filthy sinners, who are actually acceptable. They're the ones who Jesus has called. They're the ones who have responded by devoting their life to him. They're the forgiven ones. And those who are busy making themselves acceptable haven't noticed that Jesus is here. They miss the joy of forgiveness and they remain unacceptable. They miss Jesus and they miss forgiveness. So Jesus calls the unacceptable. He redefines acceptability. Those who you thought were out are in. Those who you thought were in are out. What about you and me, friends? Have we missed why Jesus has come? Are we the respectable ones, trying to make ourselves acceptable to God somehow? Maybe by our church attendance, our growth group attendance, our superb Bible knowledge, our generosity? Let's not fool ourselves into thinking we can make ourselves acceptable to God. Jesus has come. The right response is to rejoice in his forgiveness. But Jesus is doing something even more radical than we realize at first. Jesus is bringing a new way of acceptance. Jesus brings a new way of acceptance. In verses 21 and 22, he uses these two images to explain that this new way of acceptance is radically different, radically new from traditional ways of thinking. See, all people think that if you work hard enough at being acceptable, God will accept you. If you do good enough, God will accept you. All religions that I know of work on this principle. And even atheists work on this principle, don't they? By denying a God, they deem themselves acceptable by whatever standard they choose. All people think there's some standard to attain in order to be acceptable. But by calling the unacceptable and redefining who is acceptable, Jesus shatters this way of thinking. He says new cloth can't be used to patch old cloth, or the tear will get worse. He says new wine can't go in old wineskins, or the wineskin will burst. This radical acceptance, this new acceptance that Jesus brings, will not go in old traditional ways of thinking. So just as new wine must go in a new wineskin, otherwise as it ferments, the old brittle wineskin will burst. Jesus brings a new way which won't fit in our old way of thinking. So rather than this traditional view of acceptance, do good to be accepted, let's get Jesus' new view. The new way of acceptance, Jesus says, is by the bridegroom being taken away. Have a look at verse 19. In response to the question about fasting, Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast." So remember, we said Jesus is the bridegroom, and therefore it's inappropriate to fast. The right response is to rejoice at the forgiveness that Jesus brings. But there is a time when the bridegroom will be taken away. This is the way of acceptance. So Jesus can't just forgive sins. Sins have to be dealt with appropriately. If Jesus calls the unacceptable and then redefines them as acceptable people, then there must be a radically new way of dealing with their sin. It's not by fasting, it's not by religious rituals, it's not by their reading of the scripture. It's by the death of the bridegroom. Jesus says he will be taken away, and on that day it's appropriate to fast, to be sad about the cost of sin. See, on the cross, as Jesus is executed, sin is dealt with, and we see the true horror of sin. We see the true cost of sin. And fast then, says Jesus. Be sorry then. And yet Jesus is raised to life again. And so we don't remain sad. Rather, the bridegroom returns. Forgiveness is assured. Rejoicing is the order of the day. This is the new way of acceptance, the radical new way of acceptance that means forgiveness of sins is available to all. Not just available to us, but not them. There's no need to do good to be acceptable. Jesus calls the unacceptable, and as they turn and devote themselves to him, he redefines them as acceptable through his death and resurrection. And so we rejoice. So friends, if you're not following Jesus, then he's calling you. However you are, whoever you are, or with all your filthy sin, with all your shameful secrets, it doesn't really matter. You don't need to clean yourself up before you follow Jesus. You can't clean yourself up before to become acceptable to him. He calls the unacceptable. He calls you to stop what you need to stop, to devote yourself to him. And as you do that, he forgives your sin because of his death. He counts you acceptable. And friends, if you're a Christian, many of us here are Christians, this is a stark challenge to us. We must become more loving. We must stop creating boundaries. We must start accepting the unacceptable. There's an Ethiopian tribe called the Mursi. They wear big, flat piercings in their ears and in their lips. 20 years ago, someone told them that Jesus was calling them to follow him. And they did. They became Christians. 6 months ago, one of the elders in that tribe realized what this meant. See, there are two other tribes neighboring the Mursi. One, the Mursi treat as slaves for generations. The other, they hate and they're often at war with. It's a blood feud, again, for generations. So the Mursi have realized that if Jesus accepts them, they must accept these tribes. They've committed to do two things. One, to accept these tribes, accept the unacceptable, to cease the slavery, to cease the hatred. And two, to go to these tribes and to tell them, Jesus is calling you. You need to follow him. This is what the radical acceptance of Jesus does. So if Christians have ever acted the way that Islamic State is acting now in Iraq and Syria, and Christians have, at least in the Crusades of the 11th to 13th centuries, then those Christians have not been acting in accordance with Jesus' radical acceptance. If you have ever acted unlovingly, created boundaries, judged someone as unacceptable, then you have not acted in accordance with Jesus' radical acceptance. It's a tragedy. If anyone comes into this church or mingles at morning tea or meets you on the street and feels unwelcome because of some criteria by which we deem them unacceptable, all people are welcome. Everyone is called to follow Jesus and be made acceptable by his death. Friends, we need to pray that God would help us. Our Father, this is challenging and too hard to do without your help. We praise you for Jesus' death and what it has done, the forgiveness that it has brought. And Father, help us to act appropriately, change our minds and our hearts and our actions. Help us to accept all. Help us to tell all that they need to follow Jesus. Help us to stop creating boundaries and judging people. We pray these things for Jesus' glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.